Oh, I'm a zombie.
Welcome back, loyal listeners and those of Lost Hope.
Yes, I'm a zombie.
You can absolutely hear them in the background. We are back from the longest short rest in D&D in history.
Boom.
Long rest. It's got to be a long rest.
My hit points are like max to the max.
Yes.
For those of you who've been waiting with bated breath, you can exile now.
Exile.
For those of you who...
You can exile?
You're out. Oh, you're out.
Hell yeah. That stayed in.
This is just going to break down. For those of you who have been waiting with bated breath, you can exhale now. For those of you who forgot that we existed, surprise! We're like that saving throw you thought you'd never need. Yes, we are back after a year-long, let's call it, downtime.
It's like chlamydia.
You never thought you'd need. You never. Here we are.
You thought you got rid of it, and yet.
I need now, everyone who's been holding their breath for this long to go to Vegas and get yourself a show now.
Yeah, that's
what
incredible.
What are you doing here?
Go to Vegas and exile.
Sorry, Kevin, you were saying.
Go
continue.
I was saying go to Vegas and get chlamydia. Is that what I was saying?
Please, no. Probably not.
I don't think so, man.
I don't know.
My father took me to Vegas for my 21st birthday, and now we're here.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
All right. Go to Vegas and get a Clamato. Now, you might be wondering, where have you been for a year? For those of you who have been frantically rolling perception checks, you have finally reached a natural 20. We haven't been trapped in the Wasted West or petrified by a slang, though... Honestly, either of those excuses would have been way cooler than real life got in the way.
Boring.
But fear not. Our intrepid team has dug out their character sheets. They have polished their dice, and they are now raring to bumble their way through more adventure. Gideon has gained proficiency in procrastination. Ilex has mastered the new skill of... Remember where we left off?
Oh, I think...
Chisk!
Just over there.
...has found the zen of counting the slow drips from his maple hole. And Maeve, well, let's just say she's been working on her improved excuses cantrip.
I'm not making excuses. I'm just busy.
Like some Mavros destroyed and decayed grassy junior high reunion...
Canada!
Let's...
That's where we're from.
It's Canadian.
Spend a little time recapping the story so far so that everyone is refreshed, rejuvenated, and ready to roll.
I gotta say, I'm pretty sure one of the Degrassi seasons ended with the school burning down.
Whoa, oh, exciting.
I would not be surprised.
I'm pretty sure there was one Degrassi season I started where the start of the season was like, yeah, it's crazy that our junior high burnt down. Anyway, how is physics?
Anyway.
I think that was Degrassi High and not Degrassi Junior High.
As in the burnt down school or the survivors?
What does it matter?
Is there really Degrassi Junior High?
Yes.
That's crazy. Yeah.
There's also Degrassi pre-decay.
Yeah, I was going to say teenagers.
Gotta go to school.
Well, they're all teenagers, I mean, supposedly. But like 12-year-olds?
Griffin, can you please make the outro for this episode be the Degrassi theme song?
I will not. Our legal team is not as robust as it once was.
Get on it.
Oh my God, Maddie.
I'm sorry.
You're level 8? I'm level 8.
You don't need. I don't think you need your sheet right now.
I know, but I don't even know what level I am, guys. We're all eight.
We're all eight.
I haven't updated this cool little book that Diego got everybody forever.
yes. Hello, casters. It's your friendly neighborhood grumpy sound guy, which is my nickname in our internal Discord. But that doesn't matter.
They don't know
what matters. What matters?
Did you say internal or eternal?
Eternal
Discord. Eternal.
Discord will last forever, and if you're on our Discord, you know that. The one bit of housekeeping I have before we go forward, in order to be more consistent with recording and releasing so that we don't have a big lapse in episodes like we did, is we are switching to a bi-weekly release schedule.
Yay.
Now, I will say that I won't commit to that forever, in that if I'm super dead, I'll just put one out the next week. But what I can commit to is bi-weekly. But you might get a surprise episode. And what I will also offer is that if you're in our Discord, you might get an episode early before the rest of the world.
What?
So get in the freaking Discord.
What is this Discord? My goodness.
I love the game and I love the podcast, but the biggest thing that spurred me on was our Discord members. So, yeah, you're
good.
Here we are. Welcome back. Kev, what have we done?
What is this place? Where are we?
Am I? Who are you?
In this liminal place that I don't know anything about.
We are going to start from the beginning. We are going to start from the day that Gideon, Chisk, and Maeve all separately wandered into the seat of Mavros in anticipation of the mustering. Each of them had their own reasons. Gideon was there to support his pirate queen,
Faye. I'm just going to go take a little rest here while you guys are doing this. I'm going to wash my face.
You're out of this recap for like 25 episodes.
Chisk was with Isabella.
Sure was.
And Maeve was searching for her long-lost love, Varadin.
I was so young and innocent then.
Back then, young.
We all were.
Well, I was middle-aged.
Well, so, yes.
Yeah.
That was so long ago. It was only probably a couple weeks, really.
It was literally like 2 weeks.
I'm afraid 7 days, unfortunately. The timeline
Stop!
Is, we were that only in Mavros for the extent of the seven-day mustering. Insane. It didn't happen, but we were in Mavros for 7 fucking days.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Wow.
So much has changed.
And 3 of those days were passed by a bell falling.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay, so after they all met each other and Big Willard, as they all gathered together to be volunteer foe fighters, they met several other Mavros fighters, including Erebus, who ended up beating Varadin but is now a Death Knight.
Oh my God.
Lady La Jolla, the paladin, as well as a bunch of different characters throughout the seat of Mavros, the tenth city.
Isn't Lady La Jolla also a Death Knight?
I don't think the fate of Lady La Jolla has been confirmed.
Oh my God.
That's right. They spent a lot of time focused on the bone jobber Alice Elise, also a loose.
I forgot about
and yes, her golden one. Tent.
God, I wish I'd met her.
The whole podcast.
She was something else.
She was great.
As that time passed, they had several misadventures and misunderstandings and, let's say, meddled in the lives of were-rats and rat folk.
Listen, we thought we were doing something good. It turns out we were interfering. It's a complicated situation.
I blame Hakan. Is that fair? I blame Hakan.
I think we can all safely blame Hakan.
That sausagey bitch.
What happened to those pipes, anyways?
That's a good question. We gotta go and get them. We'll figure out.
Fucked off to Savoyne.
I've never been comfortable with Hakan having the pipes.
They stumbled across a plot by the cult of the Black Goat, where roachlings were being implanted into several spectators at the mustering, perpetrated by the Mantis monks. They spent several episodes discovering, fleeing from, and fighting the Mantis monks.
Wait a minute, the Black Goat cult and the Mantis monks were working together?
Yeah.
What?
They're the same?
I think
Have
so.
Have we known this the whole time? Oh, maybe Gideon doesn't know. Poor Gideon. Maybe.
Holy shit. Yeah, just Gideon doesn't know. This is all an act.
They received multiple warnings. They saw the Black Crier dance across the sky.
Yeah. Weird omen.
They saw various ships blow up on the river. They worked hard. They put themselves in the middle of the ring trying to get the final battles of the mustering postponed. They were joined in the later days by Templar's Verge, a minor artifact of Mavros.
Minor?
And
minor artifact?
Minor?
I thought Templar was Mavros's actual sword.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mavros was like, ooh, thanks for bringing my sword
my
back.
Best sword.
This is so fucked. He's rewriting history. We should have given this opportunity.
No. The character arc for Templar was that it became the sword for Mavros. Remember,
so it was like an aspirational sword.
Climbed the corporate ladder.
Right. Templar was the dumbass dagger, and now they're a scimitar.
They got a promotion.
Its bearer was a drunken reprobate named Blaine.
Sorry, I cannot let this slide. Blaine McNutt. I will not let you forget that it's Blaine McNutt.
I'm fine with
Blaine
forgetting.
Blaine McNutt.
I won't. He's a buff David Suzuki man, and the AI art around him has been insane.
Amazing. Immaculate.
That's right. They did manage to save tens of thousands of spectators by defeating several of the implanted spectators and driving them from the seat of Mavros before the arrival of Uthul Van Esclach.
Let me just remind the audience here that we're all still volunteers. We're not being paid for any of this, and we're doing all the work in this freaking city.
Everybody right. else it's is just true. Eating mini donuts and popcorn.
Yes, and we never got our free mini donuts that we got.
None of the other foe fighters came to go fight Bilgrim.
Nobody.
None of the other foe fighters came to go find the freaking pyramid where we met freaking Broadwolf and Diamond Gap. They were all up doing the little Mavros Cafe freaking espresso sipping.
It was deep under the river where they first discovered the plot by the Mantis Warriors, where they freed Broadwolf and Diamond Gap. Then, with the sudden and unexpected arrival of Mavros himself, as the Ancient One appeared on the horizon.
Shut up, everybody.
Moving.
I gotta look good in front of the boss.
For the first time in centuries, the sound, the heavy tread of the thousands of tentacles that make up Uthul Van Eschlach's feet. Templar's Verge led the group. Gideon, Diego.
Wait.
No.
Gideon
no.
and his buddy Diego.
Gideon. I know come Gideon on, Diego. And Diego have the same letters in them.
Whoa.
That is crazy. I never noticed that.
Yeah. Should I go by Diegon so that Diegon. It all, like,
if you don't mind.
That's a real Game of Thrones shit. Just put a random consonant at the end of the word, like fucking Brandor.
Templar's Verge led our heroes, Gideon, Chisk, and Maeve, each of them inhabited by the spirit of one of the saints of Mavros, and all of them swelling, growing to titanic size to take on the Ancient One and its minions.
That was the most powerful I have ever felt.
This is Emma here. I did like 3,000 points of damage in one turn there, and it
was
so meaningful.
I think we created the first like three shots.
It was so good.
That was one of the first times I've played D&D with Kevin, where you can kind of hear him figure out his damage system as we played. Oh,
it's like, okay. You meant this, right? Because watch me womp you.
Right, what was it? Like you times it by 30? Is that what we did?
Something like that, yeah.
God.
That felt great. Thanks for that, Kevin.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Kevin, thank you.
Yeah.
So I mean that. Sorry. I mean that, though.
They were able to destroy the Ancient One, leaving its carcass in the river, but saving, well, at least a small portion of the seat of Mavros. Thousands of lives were spared because of the actions of our heroes. Mavros, though, in his fury, declared that all wizards will be prisoners until the Ancient Ones were banished from the Western Wastes.
That's kind of ageist, isn't it? Don't we think that's kind of ageist? Like, I mean, just like couple.
What's the threshold?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Live more than, like, 600 years, 1,000 years, you know what I mean?
Like, it's pretty rude. Yeah. Lots right. of people live longer.
They should just call them big ones.
Yeah, big ones.
Big boys.
Mean ones.
Yeah, but then that's sizest.
Bad boys.
Sizes.
That is sizes.
Gideon's biggest thing is that people have been too sizes. Is that your character?
I found it.
Yay!
It was with my taxes.
Oh, weird.
Obviously.
Where all the important documents go.
Of course.
There's something actually quite telling about that. That's quite nice.
That is excellent. Which means her taxes are also a year late.
Listen, my accountant doesn't play around. She gets on me. There's no way that would ever happen.
Amazing.
He sent out his 8 final champions, those who were in the center ring, in the seat of Mavros when it was destroyed. These 8 have been risen as Death Knights and sent out on a quest.
Ooh. Whoops.
Bam. Including Faye. Land ho, Captain. There she blows.
Oh, Faye.
And Erebus. Do we have the voice of Erebus as a Death Knight?
We don't have it, actually, I don't think.
It's not in the file?
I think we do.
I'll have to check my taxes.
Now, it was not all doom and gloom, because in the aftermath, we also met Ilexildine and her companion, Badman Turner Overlander.
I forgot about Badman. Oh.
I did.
How could you forget about Badman?
When
there's two
it.
Cute animal creatures, there becomes a rivalry. It's true.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gideon. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Griffin's
I'm fine.
Crying a little bit, actually.
I'm fine. That's it.
As they were struggling with the aftermath of the carcass of the Ancient One, as Gideon's captain was struggling with his boat.
Captain Poddings. We haven't said that yet. Captain Poddings. Ashton Poddings.
Captain Poddings.
Hedgehog fuck.
Ilex and Badman Turner Overlander arrived.
Hey, Ilex is here.
Did we miss the party?
And everyone set off in search of Big Willard.
We did?
Now.
Wait. Back up the bus.
I was like, yes. Wait, what?
Oh. What happened to Big Willard?
I think we found Big Willard before Ilex, and then with Ilex, we went to go look for Tasha.
Yeah, aren't we?
Because we had a spell that was
saving refugees or something.
Yes.
We went back to the wreckage because Chisk used a spell to find Tasha, and said that Tasha was over there.
But where? Right. What happened to Willard?
Willard's fine. Yeah. Willard's alive.
He's been promoted now
and
too.
Is a sergeant now that Dolomite got killed by Templar because Dolomite was head crabbed.
Yeah, put some respect on his name, Sergeant Willard.
Yeah, that's right.
Sergeant Big Willard.
Sergeant Big Willard.
Hi, my name is Sergeant Big Willard. I'm Big Sergeant Willard.
Now, amongst
Big One Sergeant Willard.
It sounds like Sergeant is his nickname. Big
Willard,
Sergeant.
That's a sick nickname. You guys have to call me Sergeant from now on.
Okay.
During all this rescue and recovery, silence suddenly descended as Mavros himself arrived before the player characters. Earlier, he had awarded each of them a token of his appreciation for their aid in helping him drive off the Vanishlag. Chisk had received the Stout Redoubt.
Yeah, baby.
Maeve had taken Maeve's Maelstrom.
But Gideon doesn't take no guff. Gideon's not a fucking jury
Gideon
case.
Doesn't take no guff and no sword from no god, fuck turns
it.
Out.
I need my captain's sword and my mom's sword, and that's it. Fuck you.
So Mavros had come down from the heavens. Oh my god.
That's a better
Mavros
word
had
for
come
Hevians.
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 Shabri. Ooh, that's a good character. Keep that one in your back pocket, Kev.
Mavros had come down from the heavens, where he had led his Valkyries, to meet the person that had refused a gift from a god.
Foolishly.
He also came with an offer. An offer to defer imprisoning the wizards, if only the players would agree to become his agents.
You mean the characters. Diego doesn't agree to be anybody's.
And Griffin would be an agent.
They were not unanimous in their agreement, and the offer was rescinded. He returned.
Go drink your prune juice, old man.
Okay. No, he returned to the heavens before hearing that comment about the prune juice.
That's right.
If we're calling him an old man, is he an ancient one also?
Oh, damn.
Yeah, what is the threshold?
What's the threshold?
Yeah, he would probably be considered an ancient one.
So are we going to get rid of him too?
Are all gods ancient ones?
Are all gods ancient ones? That is a deep, deep question.
Isn't it?
I would say they have existed before the ancient ones. so they're the extra ancient ones.
Elder ones.
Sergeant ancient ones.
Big sergeant, elder sergeant.
Big ancient one.
Yeah. All of you, J.R. Tolkien, for sure. Your naming conventions are like right up there.
Yeah, about consistency.
Elder Sergeant Diagon.
The game of big chairs that you move around and sit in, but sometimes are sharp.
Elder. What?
What?
It's Game of Thrones?
Yeah, it's not only Game of Thrones.
I don't think the chairs move around in the show. It's not fucking Game of Musical Chairs.
Can you imagine?
That's also not how musical chairs work.
Yeah,
what is happening? We're falling apart, you guys.
What's up, Braxton Elementary? We're playing musical chairs, but there's thumbtacks on them.
While the characters, and not the players, worked with Sergeant Big Willard and several other authorities to try to find a place for all of these now homeless residents of the Seat of Mavros to live. While they were helping the last few stragglers, digging them out of the ruins, they met up with Potemkina. She was a former cleric of Mavros who originally had been a wizard and who had since rebelled against Mavros' dictum. She is, or rather was, an elf. Unfortunately, she had been killed in the fall of the Seat of Mavros.
What happened?
And that had soured her attitude.
Big rock, towards probably.
Big sergeant
being
rock.
Crushed. Being crushed under a rock. But she had risen as a Derakul.
Cool.
Filled with a desire for revenge and for any sort of flesh, including gnome children.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus oh my God.
Okay, Potemkina.
So we held Potemkina back from eating these two kids.
And we decided to make her our friend.
Yes, but you didn't let that get in the way of making her your friend. The two gnome children were residents of a far-off village led by a goblin druid.
Led by a goblin druid. Don't the goblins have French accents? So yeah, maybe that's where you're going.
All the goblins have French accents.
You don't
and they have
that.
Agreed to help.
Is the French accent goblin starting druids. Now, or when does that part start?
Drive! I'm ignoring that. I don't even hear it.
I remember when Kevin said he'd be worried if we got lost in the recap because we were interrupting, but the bad French accent is probably perfectly clear to understand.
My favorite is Maddie.
Thank you.
I know. She gets all the inspiration. It's clear who your favorite is.
It's not my fault I'm the best.
It's not my fault I'm the best.
And we now have the characters on the way to the village to rescue the village from the quote-unquote demons that had driven them out in the aftermath of the passage of Uthul Van Slaag.
Sounds like a great place for refugees. Just a couple demons and it's ready for home.
Lovely.
A new
Welcome
life.
Home. All right. I have, that was great, Kev.
Yeah, Kevin, good job, Kevin.
I just have a few notes.
Tell us what really happened, Griffin.
This is like the fact check, and
this is going to be all over the place. This is going to be all over the place, you know? But after the fight with Uthul, there was some errant magic going around where if we did something, then lightning would strike and trees would like lift up their roots and run away.
Yeah.
The only
reason
I remember that is because Kevin gave it a very dope name called the Mad Spring.
That's
sick.
I turned into Chisk the flower. And then
flower chisk.
That's right.
Is that Maddie when I got huge?
Maeve
got huge, and Diego got beflowered.
I hate to tell you, Maddie, you're
don't
still
say
huge.
Say it like that, though.
That's right. They are huge and beflowered still.
Also,
and
not Diego. We're talking about Chisk here. What? Who's
yeah,
this
I
Diego?
Don't know that.
Fuck. Anyway.
Do I get inspiration every time somebody calls Chess Diego?
Maddie gets inspiration every time. Oh,
But an angel gets his wings. I think it's important to recognize that underneath, why am I Gideon's voice? I'm Griffin. I think it's important to recognize that under the city, when we found that big pyramid where the two bards and Blaine McNutt was there, there was also this big ass bell on top of the pyramid that when we rang it, it skipped us forward a whole day, which is how we got to the end of the mustering. I think it ran three times, or maybe two times.
It fell down the pyramid. Mm-hmm. Dong, and dong,
every
dong.
Every time it donged, we dinged.
Oh, that's right. God, that sucks. Why did we do that?
And Chisk was stayed frozen with his eyes open.
So dry.
I think Chisk smacked into it and knocked it off the ledge.
No, I don't think it was me.
Any kind of gravity thing was hard on Chisk.
I will just bring up, I'll do a special mention out to the Odakini, where we rent and got absolutely shad-racked by the Doppelrat, and then we came back, met Donner the Druid, we beat the Rat King and the Doppelrat with the cock hardness to give back to Alice Elise Alter.
I was just absolutely shocked when you said that.
I forgot that existed.
I was like, you can't say that.
Listen, I agree. I'm just the lore master. I don't know what you guys want me to say.
Not cock hardness.
I don't think we want you to say that anymore. I can't even say it without blushing.
Let me see. Cock hardness, blue husker do, Chimerian goat poker, I think, are some of Alice at least also loses items.
You gotta be careful with that one.
And then Tyro Thunder Muffins, which we did actually buy.
Yeah, I still have six of them.
Yeah.
Okay, the bung you right up.
Yes, I think we're good on that front.
Let me just jump in here. The cock hardness.
Let me actually just jump in here and keep going with my thing.
When you say it, Kevin, it's worse.
The most important thing from the Odakini fight is that Maeve found a little skull necklace that got her semi-possessed by the rat god.
I was wondering when we were gonna talk about the nightmare realm.
So that led to a lot of like bad suggestions and attempted possessions along the way, eventually during the fight with Shiax Gaborn from the Black Goat cult underneath the city.
Then
Maeve went catatonic.
Oh, yeah.
And Chisk went into the mind of Maldorava to help her fight.
The mind of Maldorava.
Within the mind of Maldorava, that is where it was introduced that.
Lots of boy bands.
Maeve's warlock patron, normally Maeve's family gets big demonic fiendish patrons. Mm-hmm. Maeve's warlock patron is a unicorn named Castanemir, and it was revealed in that dream world that her lover boy Veridin was actually Castanemir in disguise.
I mean, so weird.
Really rattled Maeve's bones, okay?
Yeah.
You're in love with your patron.
Especially because, let's be honest, Veridin was kind of a twat.
He was a bit of a dweeb.
It's open to interpretation.
You don't like cock hardness, but you're okay with twat?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, no further British. Questions.
Yeah. We're still part of the Commonwealth, Cork. God save the king.
Oh, gosh, since we've recorded, is the monarch different now? Oh my gosh. Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
That's kind of dark.
Anyway.
And the other story note I would add is that the reason we couldn't take my ship, the Giant Autumn, down the Milano River was because of, yes, the corpse of Uthul Vanishlag, but also because most of my crew has died. Mm-hmm. We know that Tosh is alive. We found Tosh in the rubble. But that was the reason we couldn't leave on ship, is because we, one, agreed to this other job, but two, because the ship's not passable, so we are leaving on the Bone Road.
We're walking, baby.
I think I'm satisfied. Hey, guys, this is Griffin from the Diascast podcast. If there's anything we missed, you got to send it to me at griffin@diascast.com.
Hey.
Or post it in the Discord and we can elaborate.
Yeah,
or
and I'll fight you publicly in the Discord.
Oh, my God.
But let's just check. Is there anything else that you guys think we should mention? Is there any other things that were significant to you that I glossed over because you feel I don't think of your character as important?
Wow. What about like a highlight reel or like a favorite moment? A big shiny for you all.
Oh, yes.
I mean, a big shiny for me is that We've decided on our name as the Kiss Partners, and Kevin has never actually called us by that at any point during the podcast. Not a single time.
I think part of that is in respect to Templar, because Templar did not like that name.
That's true. But Ilex is on board.
Yeah.
Templar couldn't be included in the Kiss Partners because That's there true. Was a lack I mean, of lips. I think there was a little bit of jealousy there.
Yeah. And also now Templar is ascended to freaking the sword of a god. Exactly. I think they're fine.
Yeah, they're getting plenty of kisses up there.
Yeah. Wait, are they?
Yeah, I think so.
Wait, what?
Tell me more about that.
Yeah, wait.
I think that's...
Explain to me in great detail.
I think that's what the Valkyries do up there. Anyway, big shinies?
Honestly, what hasn't been a shining moment? I think... understanding that I do not need anyone to be happy, but I do like other people so that I am happy. I am happiest when I am around other people.
Whoa.
No, I do not need a man to propel me forward in this life, but I do enjoy the company of my male friends and plus Ilex. I think mostly it's been internal, you know? It hasn't been a whole lot of, a lot of bad shit has happened to me over the last, what I have now learned is 2 weeks. No, 1 week.
1 week.
One week.
And I think most of it has been personal growth, yeah.
And physical.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole, finding out my lover was... actually my patron who has, you know, been with me in this very formative time in my life, kind of shattered the illusion of my identity, and I think I'm struggling a little bit, but I am coming into my own slowly but surely.
Talk about weird power dynamics.
Like, yeah, it's I'm
your lover, but also it. Like I supply all your power. I don't know.
So you can never leave me.
No, that's not cool.
That's a good point.
Okay, Castanimir, you freak.
I'll be real. My favorite part was getting the firebombs. Those have been so useful. Those firebombs being planted around the city of Mavros, and we found the storeroom and we stole some. I love a good firebomb.
That was pretty awesome.
I'm interested to see if I can figure out how the firebombs work. Might be taking a level of artificer coming up here. We'll see.
Oh, clever boy.
And what about Templar? Or what about Ilex?
Templar loved it all. moving on from Blaine, being raised up to the gods, excellent
True.
Life.
To go from Blaine to Mavros would definitely be an upgrade.
Yeah, that is arc. A great upgrade. Ilex loves... trying desperately to impress these people and thinks that it might just be working.
Like, heavy breathing.
Heavy breathing, be cool.
That's true, because Ilex, this is her first time out of the forest, really.
Yes.
In any kind of extended way.
Don't blow it, girl.
Listen. Let's get into the episode. These people have been waiting long enough. Let's get into the freaking episode.
Let's get into
the sode.
Let's all
That's right.
Buckle
so
down.
Let's begin as if it was 1 year ago.
Here you go. Intro music.
Welcome. What? How does it go? I don't remember. I've never heard of this podcast.
Welcome. As Cast Podcast.
Welcome everybody to the Die As Cast Podcast. This is Kevin Cork, your DM, and you are now fully immersed into our second arc.
Like in a hot tub.
Welcome.
Like a hot tub.
Oh, a hot tub would be nice right now.
Oh my gosh, don't even.
Hot tub D&D Emma? Machine.
Hot tub D&D. Sorry, Kevin.
Dad, welcome let's to do the- it.
Okay, no, you guys get it all out. Get it all out.
We're already in the second arc. We've been in the second arc for 4 episodes or something.
6.
During the last episode.
Yeah, what happened last episode?
The players have been traveling from the ruins of the seat of Mavros to the Fae Circle to help Suskeen and her half dozen remaining villagers reclaim their village. On the way there, they had come across three storm boars that Ilex recognized as loving metal. They had passed the storm boars. They had gotten by peacefully when Maeve, not being able to resist, cast an eldritch blast and stirred them up.
It was after they had prompted by Ilex. Remember this? It was not on my own cool volition. I was compelled.
It was suggested.
You were encouraged. You weren't compelled.
That's a better word. That's a better word.
Supported. Supported. Yes.
Yeah.
After they had dealt with the three boars, learned their names, driven them off, scared them, charmed them, and now eaten most of them, they have gathered the rest of the boar meat for Potemkina, the Darakul, to eat along the way. And they've also gathered one of the hides, because Chisk has recognized that this can create scale mail that will grant protection from lightning. As they were recovering from their first day out on the trail, they sit around the quiet campfire and reflect on their last couple of weeks. Let's start with Gideon, who seems strangely absent for most of the boar battle, but has shown up to make the beans.
Why did you say that? What? Sorry. Hey, it's me, Gideon, the DM, talking to the DM. What's why do you say that?
Because
I heard you say I was absent, and I have a pretty decent boar wound in my stomach. So what makes you say that?
You're right. You were there.
I do like the bit of like,
all right, no effort whatsoever.
Great. Thank
last
you.
Episode, that's Maddie great. Was going to be the DM. This episode, Gideon is the DM. Yeah.
The whole joke is that Potemkin didn't do shit the whole fight, so I don't know where this is coming from.
All right. As Gideon reflects on his boring wounds,
what the fuck?
Hey, that's good.
We move over to Chisk. Diego, tell us about Chisk.
Kumbaya Tahuti. Hello, everyone. Tune in to this week's episode of Dias Cast, where Chisk gets to sleep.
Woo!
And Diego does it.
Listen, Diego, you're presuming a lot. We don't know what's going to happen after these fireside chats.
It's hopeful thinking. What's the phrase? Wishful thinking.
Dang it. All right, Emma.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ilex. I'm here enjoying a fireside with my new friends, and I'm feeling very connected to them, just channeling some of those mantras that I've had, that I've really been trying to incorporate into my life. Things like detach myself from worries and anxieties, letting go of the past, releasing the need to blame anyone, including myself. Oh, it's blissful out here, isn't it? Just positively blissful.
Fire Maddie, tell us how May feels about camp sleeping outside, sleeping in around the
camp
campfire.
Sleeping outside.
I am no stranger to sleeping on the concrete or the stone, so the ground is not really an issue for me. What is an issue is that I'm still huge, so don't know if that is ever going to change. Also, that's all I got. That's all I got. That's all I got. That's what I got.
That's a pretty big one.
That's great.
You know what? Being huge, that's pretty huge.
So as you guys are all sitting there quietly around the campfire, Potemkina is finishing off her latest pound of raw flesh. And you see her sort of looking at you, Chisk, and you, Gideon. And she's actually, you know what? She's not a big talker in the best of times, but she has
been. Or a big fighter, obviously.
She's been strangely silent.
She's a great setter, though.
Cool.
And I have something I've been meaning to ask you, and I'm not sure what has been the appropriate time.
All right. Yeah. All ears.
This is, I know, something that, this might be something personal for you, but I was wondering, what was it like being one of the companions of Blaine?
Wow. What the hell? What do you mean?
Really not where I thought this was going. I'm sorry.
I mean,
what?
It was, it must have been so majestic to stand next to him to fight Sid Blaine the Bearer.
I'm sorry. Wait, hold on. Everyone.
Right.
Potemkin has got a question for us all.
Right. I feel like if Blaine's kind of your pinnacle of hero fighter, I understand why you didn't really like hop in on the bear fight fight there, Potemkin. That actually makes a bit of sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. Who is Blaine?
You didn't meet him.
Blaine is the bearer of Templar's Verge, who is the personal weapon of Mavros the God. And before Mavros chose them, they were carried by this majestic warrior named Blaine, who died in the battle at the seat of Mavros and has been sainted.
Whoa.
You know what he said? Oh, I've been fucking around and not with my family forever and ever. I need to go right now in this critical moment, in this time of need. I'm going to go. And we were like, okay, I guess you are.
That was a very good representation.
That's a really good Blaine.
That is what happened. Sure, he probably got us out of a couple situations once or twice.
Potemkin, did you see Blaine die, or is this like a legend?
Oh, no, we have all been told about the legend of Blaine.
It's been like 2 days.
were all there. What do you mean you've been told?
I've never heard of this story.
Yeah, so. Me neither.
Didn't get
we
called.
Were there.
But Blaine, I'm talking about Sid Blaine, the bearer.
Yeah, like you're not wrong. He was the bearer.
Yes. And you are the companions of Blaine. Blaine.
It was like Blaine was a companion of us kind of thing.
Sid Blaine? Are you saying Sid Blaine?
No, Saint. Saint. He is...
Saint Blaine.
That is such
I mean, like, we were taken over by some saints, but it's not like... Like, I don't know that Blaine achieved sainthood. Some would say that Blaine kind of chickened out right before we got interacting with the saints, right?
Well, so I don't know, Gideon. It sounds fair if this man decided he needed to go and be with his family. Doesn't that seem like a...
For sure.
A responsible choice to make in the heat of
his
battle?
His life was filled with irresponsible choices.
Oh. I'm not really, like, fighting, like, how it happened. Like, I get it. It ended on a weird note, but... Specifically the Sate stuff, he did leave before that, absolutely.
And
he kind of decided to leave before that.
He's not dead, as far as I know. He's probably just, I mean, I hope so. I hope not.
I hope, he talked a lot about his family before he left.
He did, even gave us his last donut coupons before he left.
Yeah,
donuts. Was, again.
So, you are saying that you did not enjoy your time with him?
No, it was
That's
great.
Not what we are saying.
I'm more so like specifically the saint stuff. He just really was not there for that.
I don't know if he is the hero that you think that he is, or that people are telling you that he is.
What is the story you heard, Potemkina? How did it go after he left these companions?
For me, what we were given is the inspiration, a vision from the blessed weapon themselves. This idea of Blaine, who was a drunk initially, he was a problem, and he grew and grew, and he gathered together each of you, and you all worked to save the seat of Mavros. And then, in the final sacrifice, he gave up Templar's Verge to at Mavros's urging, and then he passed away struggling to save his family. That is why he has been sainted.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have laughed at that. That's rude.
If you heard, if he died, then yes, that's what happened.
He is
That's all true.
What do they call it? Martyrdom? Something like that.
Absolutely. Oh. Yeah.
He gave each of you his blessing or instruction, or each of you have had the guidance of a Blaine. I mean, I am not impressed with Mavros, and I have turned from him, but it would have been something to fight with Mavros.
Potemkin, what Maeve said.
So you say that this Blaine was not good for you?
I know less about Blaine than I do about storm boars out in the wilderness, okay? He could have been anybody and I would not have known the difference.
Oh my God.
I see. Well, he is a brand new saint. He is Mavros' chosen.
I have a question for you. And maybe just to the general heir. Why do we do all the work and Blaine goes away and Blaine gets elevated to this, like, saintly status?
It is crazy that, yeah, there's no rumors about Gideon being a saint, and Gideon was the one that everybody saw grow big and do things.
Why are we not dead? Blaine's...
Oh, I see.
Companions.
May I?
May I offer something? You know what?
I wasn't there, and I don't know how it went down, but, you know, just listening to this story, it sounds like perhaps Blaine, this man who you say was contemptible and, you know, plain, achieved something without needing reward for it or recognition. And maybe that was the journey that he was meant to go on, whereas you are still working on it. And you can't achieve those things looking for reward. Maybe I'm being presumptuous.
No, I agree. We're not doing this for glory or recognition or anything. That's not...
I am. Sorry, oh, sorry. I am. I'd love those things.
I kind of am a little bit, too.
Oh, man, that would be great.
I really like being the center.
If I could be a saint when I die, I would love that.
Well, maybe when you die. Sorry.
Let me retract everything I just said.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the issue at the core of this situation is that I am not upset that Blaine has saintly status and we are peons. What I am upset about is that the facts are being skewed. And this is how, you know, you get crazy people, my dad, my whole family, crazy people choosing not to believe what is actually conceivably right there in front of them, and instead believing in this loopy notion in their head that is not real. And I am just concerned with how story becomes fact for people. And that what happened, what Potemkin is describing, did not happen. That is not fact.
You do know that Templar's Verge was a sentient weapon, yes?
Yes, da.
Okay. It's fine.
I'd love to know what you're thinking, Trisk. Are you saying that, like, Blaine's not the hero and Templar did most of the work?
I didn't say that.
Okay. Okay.
It was shocking at first to hear the news of Blaine's sainthood. That's but past the shock now, it's fine. It's, you know, he went on a journey and he recognized his wrongs and his past and went back for his family to spend his last moments with them.
I find it quite admirable. I mean, I don't know the facts, but if the story's true, that is quite admirable. And, well, shall we raise a glass to Blaine?
I have no glass.
Raise a glass to Blaine. Here's a glass.
Here's mate.
To
here's
your
water
what
skin.
Is this? Friend? It's water.
To Blaine.
To Blaine.
To your friend.
Yeah, to Blaine, and also facts.
To Saint Blaine.
Yes.
Well, yeah, to Blaine.
Blaine.
I'm gonna, sorry.
To Blaine.
And to your drink. And she says, so you don't consider yourselves his companions. Is this the vibe I am picking up?
No. If he was like, hey, companion, I would go, hey, companion. Yeah. Like, I would say I'm his companion, totally, for sure. I mean, if he still thinks of me as that, he's a saint and all that now, so, you know, I don't know.
Like, it's like we're all companions type of situation, you know? It's not like we're anyone's companion or, like, no one's our companion. We're just all companions.
So I think I get... I think I get what you're saying, that this is like a small sea companion, but not the capital C companions of St. Blaine.
Capital K kiss partner.
Yeah.
That is what we are.
Right.
We're kind of like a ragtag team of people who just... We just meet people and they come into the kiss partners and then they leave.
Like you, Potemkina.
You'll leave us soon, Potemkina.
You will leave us soon.
They always do.
They always leave, and I guess you'll become a saint soon.
and like me, you know, people come and go. It's normal.
Wait, are you leaving?
I do not think that I'm on a path to leave, and I have turned away from any potential for sainthood. I just want a simple life. I want to go back to the woods and explore or wander.
Sounds like a noble cause.
I thought you had so much rage in your heart. I thought you were going to, like, study magic or something.
I am shocked and dismayed that Mavros would turn against the wizards. Yes. And I myself have decided to re-examine my wizard past. I studied some magic before I became a cleric, and I am going to go. It does make me very angry, for sure. All of this persecution of wizards.
Oh, yes. You don't need to tell me about anger and persecution.
Maeve, I'd like to know a little more about that. You mentioned your father and the...
Not my real dad.
Okay. I mean, I don't know you at all. Can you... What happened? What's that about? What do you mean when you say the stories aren't the facts? I'm sorry if everybody knows this story already.
No, I'd love to hear it.
Family. Some might say a cult or a coven of sorts. I am very different from them, obviously. I mean, not obvious to you, but very obvious to me. I don't know my real parents, and that's... I mean, Chisk and Gideon know this. I have a feeling they are out there, but right now I am kind of mostly just focused on trying to not be captured because my stepdad is crazy. And I feel like he might be looking for me. He made a very big deal about never letting me leave. And that's the kind of thing to write with, like, these facts and story is if you have no exposure to anything except what you and your little bubble believes, you are never going to grow as a person. I feel like I have learned so much just by being at the seat of Mavros, more growth in this period of time than I ever have in my whole life.
You did know a lot about
when
doors.
I got to Mavros, I did not even know that there was, like, food that, like, wasn't.
Wait,
blood.
Really? Oh.
I mean, like, I knew about it, sorta, but, like...
Right.
I don't know. I don't know these things. I'm still learning, and, like, the world is so big. It's all so big, and sometimes I just want to lie down. Does that make sense?
I hear you.
Yeah.
That's just cold jam.
It really does. And I don't know if it brings any comfort, but I'm, like, 3 times your age, and I've still got... a whole world of learning to do, so...
3 times, Alex, you look so good.
Oh, yeah, it's like really
thank
not
you. I like to keep it tight, but...
Yeah.
No,
Alex does CrossFit.
You know, I wake up early. I like to stretch. No, sorry, distracting. That's vanity. No, I've told you, I've had children.
And that's a sin.
I've got grown-up children, all of that. Yeah, it doesn't stop. That feeling of learning, and maybe you'll learn to find it exciting at some point. It brings me a ton of anxiety right now, if I'm going to be honest about it.
Yeah, me too, man. Like, I hate being this, like, ooey-gooey, mushy, vulnerable shit, because that's so not my vibe.
No,
but
you're very tough.
I am so scared. Does anybody else feel this? Me and Alex are out here, like, shitting ourselves. You seem so calm, Chisk.
Whoa, I am not. I am filled with anxiety at all times of the day.
Cool.
I am so nervous about everything all the time. It's a scary world, and I don't know much about it. I often think about my family and how they're doing, and, you know, how fun it would be to be here with all my siblings and stuff. But it's also really cool and fun to get to know people and things and learn languages and experiences of people. I love hearing about your stories. How You have grown up children, Ilex?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I've lived a whole life in the forest before I had to go. And, yeah, things, you know, Maeve, you're 16 years old, right?
Yeah.
And you say you haven't experienced anything? You didn't know anything about food
anything.
Or anything about anything except boars, but and know, gymnastics.
Like, I know stuff, yeah. But, like, when it comes to real stuff, like, no.
If you would have asked me even 3 months ago if I knew anything about the world, I would have said yes. But, wow, things can change in a heartbeat. And I don't know shit. I don't know anything.
None
Everything
of this,
I thought I knew, I was wrong about. So,
if Tehuti has taught me anything, is that the greatest knowledge is that you recognize you know nothing at all.
Hey.
Oh my god, you guys.
What about you, Gideon?
Yeah, Gideon is sitting there with a smug look on his face. I feel like maybe he thinks that he knows a lot.
I know some things.
Like what?
Okay, like what? I have a question for you. Do you know what is up with that finger you carry around?
Do I know what's up with it?
Yeah,
I mean,
like what the fuck is the deal? We've talked about this for like 2 seconds,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you immediately shut down because that's kind of your thing. I get it.
What finger?
Yeah.
What is it?
I feel like if anyone would get it, it'd be you, Maeve.
I'm gonna. Yeah, I'll take it. Out the little the little package I keep of my mom's cut off finger.
Ew! So wet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have any...
Potemkin on not a snack.
I don't really have any way of, like, preserving it. So if you could stop looking at me like that, Potemkin, that would be great.
You're salivating. Stop it.
It's kind of messed up. We're really kind of baring our hearts here a bit.
Baring our hearts.
Did you say heart?
Okay, Potemkin, right. here's some meat.
Very cool. Thanks, Potemkin. Here.
So, did they tell you anything else about... I mean, We did speak to your queen.
Yeah, I mean, they got pulled off on contracts like every once in a while when I was growing up. But this one, they just said they had to, you know, steal something big. And then they said they were going to be back after a certain period of time. And then they weren't back after that period of time. And then the time kind of just kept going on. And so I didn't, you know, I knew Pawdings from like, gatherings, and he was kind of like a family friend, and I didn't really know what to do, so I you know, joined up with him and kind of took my mind off things. I don't know. I haven't really had time to break that down, in that I didn't know Faye was the one that sent them on that mission. I don't blame Faye necessarily. They were good at what they did, but I wish I knew more, like, where they went, what they were trying to get, like, what the dangers were. What should I be braced for? They've never gone to a thing where the people they were stealing from would have kidnapped them and cut off their finger, and the kidnapper knew enough to send it to me
as
their
horrible.
Offspring. Right. Sorry. Yeah, I didn't really... I kind of brought the thing out, and then we kind of made fun of Potemkin, but I didn't really get into the...
I'm picking it up.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm picking it up. It's okay. You don't need to go into it.
They're just like... My moms are like really good thieves, and they work really well together, but this one, I guess, got the better of them, but also, like, maybe not. Like, maybe there was just a trap, and my mom lost a finger, and, like, somebody's messing with me, and they're fine. But, like, I don't know.
They're like, you know? No, found
that
this
is,
in
like,
the forest.
Really macabre. Like, even for... Yeah, it's... Nobody does that unless they...
Well, that's the scariest thing, right? Of just, like, it has to be somebody that knows my family well enough to know to send it to me.
So what are you going to do about it?
It's not just some random dude. I mean... I was going to sit down with Faye about it and, like, find out more of where she sent them, but now she's a Death Knight, and, like, I don't know if that's... She obviously doesn't remember anything now, so it seems like I was thinking of, like, when we get back to the Autumn, like, searching through, kind of going into her captain's quarters and, like, searching through some books or something to see if...
Scandalous.
I don't know. Like, she's not going to use it anymore. She's our... Death Knight now, so, like, I, you know, that's my thinking.
Do you have any way of sending a letter or I guess you don't know where they are, but can you send a message?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have any magical means. They kept stuff pretty tight, as it were, when they were working on jobs. So, not to spread information around. That was kind of their whole deal.
I have a few spells to, like, you know, send messages and talk to people.
Oh.
Sometimes I have to have, like, an object or something that belongs to them or have known them in some way. So, well, I don't have anything prepared.
A finger.
What about a finger that, a finger that belongs to them? Probably.
We could try it. I don't really know if that suffice,
to
be honest.
That's kind of as direct as you can get, but that's like their finger.
That's like meat, yeah.
I know, but sometimes you have to, like, for example, I can do sending, but you have to be familiar with the creature.
Right.
You have to, like, know them in some sense.
Gideon, I am sorry about your mom's. That's, like, really scary to be in that situation and know that somebody else out there knows about it and knows you know. There's a lot of knowing happening. But, I mean, we've said this before and it still stands. We're on your side. And, you know, if you want to find your moms, we'll come with you.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least I will. I can't speak for these two, but...
Oh, yeah.
I'll be there.
It's scary, you know? They were... Yeah. They're the best at what they do. And so if somebody got them, what the hell am I going to do?
Well, I don't know. We've been
you're
in some
the best
scary,
at what you do.
We've been in some scary situations, Gideon, where I've wanted to leave, and you all have brought me into it with some risk, for sure. But we've come out of it alive. I think we're doing pretty well for ourselves.
Bear survival and scraping by is doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's all there is. Go ahead and sing your song.
Sorry, no, it doesn't matter. Sometimes when I get sad, I break into song.
It
just helps.
Guys?
I mean, bear necessities, the simple bear can rest at ease. I feel like just Chiskets, I
like that you guys sing all of your songs all at once without actually relating to each other.
No, yeah. Well, it doesn't really, it's not really for the group. It kind of helps each other
all the solo. But let's go back. Did we hear everybody's campfire song? I heard Chisk and Gideon.
I'm pretty sure we did. Pretty sure we did hear that.
Alex, what's your favorite campfire song?
It was this one. And the seasons go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. And the carousel of the...
Nice!
Kind of trails off like that.
It's autistic.
Babe, you may not have a campfire song, but you'd have a late night song that you would sing to yourself.
Oh, certainly. My family has, you know, at like big parties, they have a song.
And here it
coffin,
is.
Coffin, pipe organs, blood. And then that's kind of it goes on.
Oh.
Holy shit.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was
going to
be more
I mean,
the bodies have to float or something like that.
I've never heard that song, but that one sounds good, whatever that is.
Once you get, like, the organs and the bone rattles going, it's really nice, but a cappella doesn't really do it.
No, it doesn't.
You need Chisk, the reverb of the organ.
I gotta ask you something, and you gotta tell me if this is too personal, but it really seemed like you and Isabella were kind of, like, hitting it off. Seemed like this, you know, something was pretty solid there, and then she kind of left. I mean, I know she works for Hakan, but are you okay? What happened there?
Yeah,
was like your first kiss, right?
She's a girlfriend. Oh my god.
Okay, let's everybody.
I
cool
know it's so
off.
Fun, so fun. She's so weird. Alex, like, so you are so...
I know. She's kind of a freak.
Oh, yeah, you met her.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, she's weird.
Yeah, kind of a Maggie Grace-esque figure.
I don't know who that is.
Right.
tell us about her, Chisk. What do you like about her?
What do you like about her?
Okay, I don't like this. This gives me the EBGBs. I don't want to talk about
you
it.
You always have the EBGBs.
I know.
That was some really good self-growth right there.
I don't know. If I'm being honest, I don't... It was kind of a... She just sort of left, which is kind of the concerning thing. It was like she just took off, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. We weren't together. It just sort of happened. Like, that was... I think she was... Yeah, I think she liked me, but...
You were, like, traveling with her.
You miss her, Chisk?
I do. I feel like she was a great guide. And, you know, she was, like, my introduction to the outside world. And then it was just like... You know when, like... This is what I imagine when humans first... When they go to kindergarten, I've heard that happens. And their moms drop them off at kindergarten.
Yeah, it's a garden.
And you're all excited because you're at kindergarten. Yeah. And then, like, you turn around and your mom's not there anymore. Yeah. It was kind of like that.
I know that feeling.
Wait, okay, gross. So are you saying Isabella's your mom?
No.
You made out with your mom?
Maeve.
In a garden?
Full of children? No. Just kidding.
It was a metaphor.
It's a good metaphor.
Just a feeling.
You've been kicked into something that you're unfamiliar with, and now your God has kind of left you high and dry.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very, very thankful that I found all of you, because, you know, you have your own life experiences that you're guiding me through as well. She had a lot of knowledge. She knew a lot of things.
What do you mean by that? Like, what kind of things you had to...
What kind of knowledge? It's okay. Hey, it's natural, Chisk. It's totally natural. I could tell you, I've had some wonderful lovers in my time, if you want to...
Talk about them.
Ew, yeah, gross.
Talk about a few of them.
You can talk about yours. I'm not ashamed.
No, it's... Well, my first husband was... I mean, he was a specimen, if you know what I mean.
Did he keep it tight?
More than tight, Maeve. He was smoking hot. And
tell me more.
Now I feel weird.
I told you I've had 3 children, but we could have had so many more.
I've never heard it described like that.
What?
We could have had so many more.
I mean... You know how babies are made, right, Gideon?
Yeah. I'm familiar. All right.
I mean, pioneers are made differently, but yeah.
Right, with your maple holes.
No, that's not how that happens.
Oh, really? What is it for then?
Oh my gosh, are we going to talk? Are we going to get to the bottom of your maple hole?
I do not want to get to the bottom of just maple hole. Let me tell you one time.
I told you so much about my maple hole.
Too much. Alex already
was off talking to Rumpelstiltskin or whatever.
Badman Turner Overlander. Yeah.
Rumpelstiltskin Overminer.
So, Chisk, I have a question. How are new pioneers born?
So, when a mommy piney and a daddy piney love each other,
okay,
one of them will usually grow a seed out of their little, you know, branches, and usually
is that
that's
a euphemism?
Kind of, huh? No.
No.
Okay.
It's what happens. And then they take that seed. It's kind of determined by just like, you know, their relationship. It's not like you're not born with like the ability to create the seed. It's just kind of formed in how your relationship happens. And then one person will give the seed to the ground, and then the other person will take care of the ground while your seed is growing. And then out of that seed...
Like penguins.
I have never heard of a penguin.
Sure. You know so kind much like about penguins. Animals.
I know a lot about penguins.
Man, your zoology knowledge is kind of popping out at every minute here.
Yeah, your animal knowledge is... It's amazing.
Well, when you grow up in a prison, all you do is read.
Oh, it's really? It's a type of fish.
It looks like a bird.
That's it.
Fact and story.
Coffin.
Blood.
And then the other person will just take care of the ground while you become a full-grown piney.
And fertilize it.
There is no inserting of anything into any other person. No maple holes involved. Maple holes are private for yourself only.
Oh, so...
Wow. Kind of a closed-off group, then.
What?
Maple holes? Are you telling me pineys make babies.
You're telling me there's not one piney that didn't explore the maple hole with another partner? Is that what you're really saying to me?
That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying my maple hole is for myself alone. Oh. I'm not saying no piney has explored the maple hole. Every piney is free to do whatever they please with their maple hole. I'm just saying mine is for maple alone.
I am... It is really beautiful that piney parents make babies completely in a process of, like, love. That's really sweet. And there's no, like, weird, awkward inserting of things into other things.
It's not always awkward.
That's really nice. Yeah. God, I wish that I was made with love.
Oh.
Maeve!
You might have been.
Hey, Maeve.
You are made. So filled with love.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you really fight it, but I really think you are.
You really have... You care a lot for people. I know you're very, you know, protective of yourself and your emotions, which is very valid. No. Yeah.
No. Yeah, right. It's pretty clear. I mean, every time that there's any kind of hint of love or affection or empathy, you'll go, whatever, this is stupid, you're being weird. And we kind of pick up on, that means that we're in Maeve's good books.
Mm-hmm.
This is stupid, you're being weird.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, listen, I know we're getting down to the kind of meat of the thing. Alex, what's up with you and Badman? Like, are you...
What?
Friends? Is he like your dad, or like
your dad?
Like
is
what?
Is
Badman one of the lovers?
No, he's so small. No.
Well, it's just not necessarily about Saz. You know, it's kind of how you use it.
Oh, Gideon.
Well, we just don't have to, you know, label. You know?
Hey, you're gross, right.
You guys are gross.
You're right. It's not about size, but it is with Badman.
Interesting.
No, he and I met in extraordinary circumstances, I guess. Hey, it's no secret I was in a bad way, and I didn't know what to do, and he found me, and he helped me. Sort of like Isabella did with Chisk.
Mm.
Do you mind
what
if I ask him... In a bad way, in what way?
Oh, sure. Well, I told you I'm from the forest, right? I'm from the Rotegard. But I'm not always from the Rotegard. I was from the Margrave before that. The big forest, the
like
OG.
Originally?
Yes, yeah, that's where my family's from.
Whoa. And is the Rotegard like a subsection in the Margrave?
It's a bit of an outlier. It was lost... In a way, and it was cut off, and things were happening there, and we didn't know what was going on. So there was a delegation of a mix of forest creatures, pineys, alcyids, all of that, to go and take it back and reclaim it. So, it's a long story. I don't want to bore you with everything, but my first husband, he died in an accident, and I'm from, I suppose you would say, an important family in the alcyids. And so I needed to be remarried in order to, you know, make connections. That's where my value lies in some ways. So I was married off to another family, part of this Rotegard delegation. And, it didn't go well in the Rotegard. I'm not entirely sure, but one thing led to another and I was exiled from there. Hence the broken antler and all of that. That's my mark to show me I can't go back.
They did that to you?
Yes. Yep.
Hey.
Yeah, well. Hey, these things happen, sometimes beyond your control. You don't always know that it's happening to you until you're in the middle of it. That's one thing I'm trying to learn. So I was kicked out. And, I'm 56 years old, and I didn't know where to go or what to do.
God, you keep it so tight.
Thank you so much. I really do try, especially now that I'm on my own.
56.
Yeah. Thank you. Right. Hey, if you want to do some yoga with me in the morning, you're always welcome. Anyway.
It's crazy that all of us middle age keep things so tight. Like it's,
yes.
We all look so good. All of us.
We are. Anyway, I don't want to be sad about it. But it is sad, right? My whole family's back there and I can't go back. Mm-hmm. And I was...
Yeah.
Sometimes being sad is awesome.
Yeah. It looks good
it's
on you.
It's an emotion.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what I did wrong, but I think I might have been blamed for something.
You don't know what you did?
Well,
I thought maybe you, like,
did something bad, like...
Well, this is the most painful part.
Was very bad.
I think my second husband was, although extremely hot, and again, a wonderful lover.
Awesome, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So cool.
Yeah.
That part's great.
That part was great, I'm not going to lie, and I do miss that. It's hard to say. I was kept in the dark about it, and I think I was blamed for something that he did. Sort of a scandal.
Oh, boys.
Yeah. So, I don't know that we want to go there right now, because...
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sorry for even, you know, thinking about taking you there again.
Well, I suppose I'll have to go back at some point, but it's not been long enough, I don't think.
Okay, what about... Maybe going back to the Margrave instead.
Yes, although it's a great shame to be marked like I've been marked. Alcyid's an exile.
What will you do if you are marked and cannot go back?
I'll be out.
And if things are tense in the road car and you cannot go back, then what will you do?
I'll learn about the world and about myself, and I'll help you, and that seems good enough for now.
Fuck your wise.
No.
Fuck your wise. Fuck your wise.
Hey, fuck your wise.
Fuck your wise.
Fuck your wise.
I thought you first said fuck your wives, and I was wondering
fuck your wives. Maybe what if you don't know what to do, maybe what you could do is fuck your wives.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have one yet, but I don't know. I've been married twice. I don't think I need another marriage. Although it's for the right woman.
That's right.
Wait. So your kids...
Yes.
Do they know about this? Well, are they out here anywhere?
They're in the Margrave.
Are they in the road forest still?
No, they're in the Margrave. With the hoi polloi of Alcyid society. They're married. They have their own families. It's complicated. It's all political, right? They're married off to create connections to other parts of the forest, and...
Are you like a princess...
That is the vibe I'm picking up.
No. We don't have anything like that.
A lawyer.
A lawyer?
Are you a lawyer?
No.
What?
Okay. I'm just thinking of Gideon's mind.
Princess.
The most powerful
lawyers.
Thing that I can think of is a lawyer. Oh, man.
I guess my uncle
was a lawyer. He made so much money.
Yeah, we don't deal much in money, so that doesn't really track. I guess I'm like an ambassador.
Whoa.
You know, my job is to make connections. With other parts of the forest. That's always been my job. Although, you know, part of that is fighting and hunting, and that's what we do.
I could see that makes a lot of sense. Because, like I said, you are very wise. You have a sensibility for folk.
Well, our little part of the world is hardly anything compared to everything going on out here. I have no idea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What we do seems like the entire world, and then you step outside the forest and... They're storm boars and fey creatures that lead dance parties full of squid. You know, it's very strange out here.
You should have seen the hurricane monkeys.
What?
Oh, yeah, the coinados.
That was a long time ago. Coinados.
Yeah, that's... Wow. That was only, like, truly, that was only a few days ago.
Oh,
and yeah, do you ever think about that? Yeah, it's nuts. That's nuts stuff.
It's like, and it's been like a year and some days and some months.
We kind of jumped into it, and I know I'm kind of, you know, picking on a lot of different topics. Maeve, you had a crush on your god, and I think we should talk, like, we haven't really, we kind of got into it, and I know you and Chiz Cadillac, you know, a spiritual fight and journey and whatever, but, like, the whiny prince boy, little elf man right, and then he's your god. I guess here's my thing is if I was beholding to a god and I found out that the god was trying to play a goof and like pretended to be my friend and or love interest for a while, I just wonder if that would kind of shake my faith a little bit in the god. Not unless he's like a god of trickery or like a god of oops-a-daisy. So, like, what are you... How are you?
Well said.
I just want to go back a minute and think about...
Okay.
What would be an example of a god of oops-a-daisy?
Yeah.
Her name is Opsum Dazin.
And she wears a little outfit.
And that is canon.
Write it down.
Here we go.
putting the mic by my keyboard.
Upsum dasin.
Going to the Google Doc. Go ahead, Maddie. Just gonna add some later.
just email Wolfgang and he'll put it in.
Upsum dasin.
You're welcome, extra, Wolfgang. Extra. Hot news off the press.
Cobalt Press, that'll be $85 for that god name.
Well, like, okay. It's weird, okay? I had a crush on a sparkle horse. Weird. But.
Yeah.
I guess I've never really sat and thought about it like that. I was so wrapped up in this moment, this cool, like, Valkyrie moment. Riding on the horse, I mean, the horse is not the horse. His name is Kostandamir, and he is awesome. But I never got a sec to process, like, all of that time that Veridin was a prisoner in my dad's castle. Was he just fucking with me?
Right.
But I think, I don't know, this sounds like something Ilex would say. I think... that he was, like, trying to get me out. Because he's not a god. He's, I mean, maybe he's a god. He's not my god. He's my patron. And that's part of why I left, too. Because, like, usually warlocks, you know, when they take a patron, it's supposed to be evil blood coffin guy.
Nah, like the song.
It's a song, yes.
It's a song. It's a tribute. Yeah. But mine was not that. And so before my patron ceremony, I got this sparkle horse, and I was like, I gotta go. I cannot be here.
What do you mean patron ceremony? Like your family?
Yeah, it's like a family thing. We're all warlocks. We all have this thing. My older sibling did it too. You turn 16 and you get your patron. It's this whole thing, and they're singing and dancing and blood. But... like I said, supposed to be sort of fiendish, evil-ish patron, and mine was nice. And I think if Kostandamir was Veridin the whole time, I think he did not reveal himself to me in that way because it was a slow burn. You know, he can't rush these things. And I think he wanted to show me that I could leave on my own and be strong on my own. I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to find peace in the fact that I was in love with a horse, but...
Well, I mean, listen, we've all gotten to the point in our lives where we're in love with a horse, but, like, the important thing I feel is, like, do you owe him something? How does your relationship as a patron work?
I don't know. I mean, like, he's where I get my magic from.
Like, do you have to do a favor for him, or...
He's never asked for anything. I don't know. Maybe it's coming. Like, maybe when I die eventually, he'll be like, okay, soul time, and then I will be damned eternally. I don't know.
When I looked at Veridin, the first phrase I imagined coming out of his mouth was soul time.
Soul time.
Well, you did also save his whole hide from the big rat. So maybe, maybe he owes you one on that front at the moment.
I mean, I don't know. I wonder, like, what Kostandamir's boundaries are in the real world, right? Like, Veridin sucked, for all intents and purposes, kind of sucked.
He was not good,
That's great self-reflection. Often our first loves are not what we think they might be, you know? It's good. It's good to be able to look back. Yeah. He's a unicorn.
Yep. It's so weird, Ilex. Like, so weird. He's a unicorn.
Okay.
He was a prisoner, and then I freed him, and we were supposed to kind of meet back up. Well, I thought that was the plan. It turns out he was, like, going to go fight at Mavros, and then he got his ass beat, and then came with us for a little bit, and then went into the Nightmare Realm with me.
Yes.
And then turned into a unicorn, more or less.
Sort of the classic story.
Do I know anything about, like, unicorns? Like, are they magical creatures that might exist in the world?
Ooh, in the Margrave.
Yes, both you and Chisk would know that unicorns are often representative. Now, there are certainly unicorns that exist. You may have even met them, but they would certainly be rare and either sort of messengers of the Fae or messengers from the Fae realm. Absolutely.
Right.
Although, actually, would you have actually ever met one? That's an interesting question.
I've met one now.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I would also like to address the fact that I am huge, and I want to know if I can, like, reverse this ever, because it really sucks. This cup that I'm holding feels tiny in my hands.
And it is minuscule, in your hands.
Wait a minute. Wait
you're
a minute.
You're breaking it. Sorry. Maeve, you're holding it too tight. Be careful. Hey,
Stop. I'm not doing anything. Stop it.
All right. Sorry. Oh, my God. The good China.
Can I go over to Maeve, and this is the second try, different spell, Maeve, but should we try this? I don't think I need to do much. No, I don't really.
I am so tired of being gigantic. Just
okay, I'm
like,
just going to place my hand on your shoulder.
I used to be so lithe and so small. I could Maeve front flip on the beam, and now I can't even hold a cup.
Maeve kept it tight.
All right.
I kept it so tight.
Yeah.
Maybe I should cast Calm Emotions before we do this first.
That sounds actually maybe like a good idea.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just going to put my hand on Maeve's shoulder. All
right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, Maeve, just close your eyes and just cast the feelings of being huge away. Just put them away. Put them in the little shelf, for now at least. And just think of yourself as being back to normal Maeve. With that huge self up in a shelf, like a little elf for Christmas.
Yeah, hell yeah, Jess.
And I'm gonna cast the spell magic.
Magic is the name of the spell?
The spell magic.
Oh, I thought you said the spell magic.
I also heard I'm going to cast the spell
magic. I'm gonna cast the spell magic. The and gathering. Magic!
And
dispel magic.
Ooh.
All right, Chisk, I'll get you to roll me a 10-sider, please.
A 10-sider? Oh, boy.
Please.
6.
All right. So, let's see what your ability is to counter a 5th-level spell.
Ooh. So, I have to do a 10 plus my spell's level. So
it's like a DC 15, right? That.
Yeah.
Okay, so DC 15.
Elf on the shelf. Elf Come on the shelf.
Elf on the shelf. Do I get any bonuses?
You add your spellcasting modifier, right?
Yeah.
Plus your wisdom.
So then that's a 17.
Ooh.
I rolled a 14, and I thought I was like, fuck.
Oh my God.
Chisk, there is this sort of reverberation through the air. And this light flares out and going out in bright light in about 50 feet in diameter as it sort of flares, centered on Maeve.
Whoa.
And Maeve, you feel yourself shrinking and reviving and returning to your original form.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yes!
The healing power of Fireside Chat.
I give her a big hug. Hey, there she is.
So your speed is back up.
I'm hot again.
Oh, you're so hot. You're beautiful.
Right.
Oh, amazing.
Yes. Yes, I feel so accomplished.
I hug Chisk. I hug Chisk. I bring Alex with me because she's still hugging me. But I run over and hug Chisk, and now we're in a big group hug. Gideon's not there.
Over yeah. Maeve's shoulder.
I make hard, hard eye contact with Potemkina.
Yeah, Chick, you yourself feel that same sort of warm surge of power.
Oh,
and
no.
All these extra flowers that had
no.
gathered and
no,
bundled
no,
up around.
No,
oh.
No,
all,
no, 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 no.
They also drop off you and regular Chisk reappears.
This is so fucked up. This is so fucked up.
I gather up the flowers and I press them in my journal.
There's a lot of flowers.
400 pages.
Yeah, but she has a big journal.
That's I have right. not stopped looking at Potemkina. You did this.
That's
We didn't really get into your whole deal this episode, Potemkina, but I plan to. That's so
no, I wouldn't
that's
want to have
up.
any joy Sing! At Maeve's expense. Let's put those away, Gideon.
Fight me! Fight me, Potemkina! We've all been vulnerable.
Gideon, you have like 10 hit points right now. Just chill out.
Gideon passes out.
Me too.
Maeve, I'll just get you to make me an Arcana check, please.
Ooh. I got a 14.
So you feel this surge of magical energy from 30 or 40 feet above the group.
I look up.
There's a figure sort of sitting cross-legged in the air.
Like above me? Am I looking at his butt?
Yeah, you're looking at his butt.
Maeve, what's going on? It looks like you're looking at a butt.
There's a butt in the sky.
Floating there in the sky, and he sees you looking at him, and you hear this voice sort of ring out. Well, it took you long enough, but here I am.
And the penguins? Begins,
yeah, the penguin.
It's a fish.
What?
It's a
man. Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Daddy DeVito. What?
Daddy DeVito's here?
He's up for the, you're looking at Daddy DeVito's ass in the sky?
Honestly, kind of cool. I'm on board for that.
Hold on. I could
think
Burgess Meredith. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right, so lowers himself down so that he's floating just to 6 feet over the campfire. And then he sort of moves to one side and floats in the air. And you see that he's got this sphere suspended in one hand as he's just looking at each of you.
Hi, cool orb. Who are you?
I knew we weren't going to get a good night's sleep.
He says,
I fucking knew it.
I had to come visit you. I heard so much about the companions of this Blaine the Bearer. Say Blaine the Bearer.
I don't want to necessarily be known by that, you know?
This is a hot point for this group. You better be careful what you say next.
All right, we'll use the acronym, companions of the same.
Kiss
we'll
partner.
Use Cosby.
Cobbs.
Cosby?
Companions.
I don't even know if that's a good idea. What about kiss partners? This could be good, maybe.
What do you want?
I need to talk to you about something very important.
Like where Batman is?
Okay.
Wait, why don't you talk about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, first, who are you?
And we will leave it there for today.
No.
Tell us who you are.
You can't just bring Danny DeVito's butt into this and do nothing about it.
Thank you very much to Cobalt Press for all the Midgard material and for bringing Danny DeVito's penguin ass into the sky.
His little penguin ass.
Maps and melodies for all the jams you heard in this episode that underscored Danny DeVito's flat ass in the sky. And to Morgan Ermter, who did all the graphic design work for the Dice Cast and animated Danny DeVito's bulbous rump up in the nethers.
Juicy.
Sorry, absolutely. Who has some stuff to talk about? Diggs.
Hey, you can follow me on social media at Diego Straddle on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. I was like, what's the other platform?
What's hot?
I don't know. I think by this point, you should probably be able to purchase New Tales from the Borderlands on all platforms where I play Octavio. And you can play as my guy. And you can also watch The Imperfects on Netflix where I play Alejandro. Bye.
I mean, yeah, you've been listening to Diego play games for 45 episodes now. And, you got to play him as a playable character, Maddie.
Hi, you can follow me on social media at Madeline H. Smith on Twitter and Madeline Hunter Smith on Instagram.
Nailed it.
Yeah, I plug getting enough sleep. That's really good for your mental health.
Ugh. Great. I've never heard of it. Emma.
Hi, I'm Emma, and you can find me on Instagram at CinderemmaB. This is a PSA after school special. Sorry, I was trying to do a bit and it didn't really go well. I'm also starting a new Instagram account. It's called Danny DeVito's Butt.
Okay.
It's a fan page.
Yeah. Is that the handle? Yeah.
At Danny DeVito's Butt. I think it's going to be great.
I swear to God, if I look it up and it doesn't exist, we're going to have a problem.
Listen, Danny, I know you listen every episode and I appreciate your patronage. We didn't really talk to you about this new account and I'm sorry. So, keep your lawyers off us.
What are you talking about? He's here on the podcast. We heard him earlier.
He's literally right there, Griffin.
Sorry. Well, he just doesn't talk a lot when we're on the Riverside. No, anyway, Kev.
You can find us on the web, dieascast.com. You can find us on Facebook at The Die Has Cast. Also, leave us a message, if you like, on Twitter, The Die Has Cast. We love to hear from you. We'd love to hear comments, reviews, anything that you want to leave for us, we will happily accept. Griffin.
You've probably been seeing some links in our podcast notes about big old button that says join the Discord, and absolutely you should be joining the Discord, because I'm pretty good with the editor of this podcast, and he's told me that there's going to be some Discord exclusive episodes coming up pretty quickly. Some of us would maybe suggest that some episode zeros of us making our characters are going to be in the Discord, but only if you're in the Discords. You can follow me on all platforms.
Get in the Discord.
On all platforms at Griffin Korg. If you have any thoughts or questions or concerns, you can email me at griffin@diascast.com. Maddie, you have something else?
I want you to send Griffin pictures of Danny DeVito's butt.
If you do that, I'll remove you from the Discord. Okay. We'll see you all next week.
Bye.
Nasty. Great Scott Robbins.